Welcome to our service for the Sunday before Lent. I'm preparing this service on Valentine's Day, which in truth Jane and I rarely keep. But here is a favourite hymn from our wedding, to whose message we can still give testimony after more than 40 years. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Time of penitence. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon, deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the Sunday before Lent. Almighty Father, whose Son was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us grace to perceive his glory, that we may be strengthened to suffer with him and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus, Dalleniad o Lyfr Exodus. Dywedodd yr arglwydd wrth Moses, Tyrd i fyny ataf i'r mynydd ac aros yno. Yna fe roddaf i ti lechi o garreg gyda'r gyfraith a'r gorchymyn a ysgrifennais ar eu cyfer i'w hyfforddi. Felly cwrdd Moses a'i was Joshua, ac aeth Moses i fyny Dyw. Dywedodd wrth yr heneriaid, arhoswch yna amdano, nes mi ddod yn ôl atoch, bydd Aaron a Hur gyda chi, a os bydd gan rywun gwyn, aed atynt hwy. Aeth Moses i fyny i'r mynydd, a gorchuddiwyd y mynydd gan gwmwl. Arhosodd gogoniant yr arglwydd ar fynydd Sinai, a gorchuddiodd y cwmwl y mynydd am 6 diwrnod. Yna, ar y 7th dydd, galwodd Dyw ar Moses o ganol y gwmwl. Yr oedd gogoniant yr arglwydd yn ymddangos yng ngholwg bobl Israel fel tân yn difa ar ben y mynydd. Aeth Moses i ganol y cwmwl a dringodd i fyny'r mynyddydd, a bu yno am 20 diwrnod a 20 nos. Dyma air yr arglwydd. A reading from the 2nd letter of Peter. We did not follow cleverly designed myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honour and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. This is the word of the Lord.
Today's Gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 17. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Here ends the reading. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We've been trying to use these three Sundays before Lent in accordance with the old rhyme as preparation for the penitential season that begins on Wednesday. We ended last week with the words of Bill Cuddick's song, Unicorns, in which the unicorns sing in chorus, "We never went away, you always knew that we were here. Remember how to look for us, you'll find we were always near." When in Lent we stop and rest and seek first the kingdom of God, we will seek within ourselves and among our brothers and sisters the kingdom which Jesus says has drawn near to us, is within us, or among us. And if we can stop and seek the Lord in that way, we will find that, like the unicorns, he was always near, nearer to us than the beating of our hearts. As the psalmist puts it succinctly, "Be still and know that I am God." But in that stillness, where we may know that God is God, we may also find ourselves. The three men who go up with Jesus into the Mount of Transfiguration are men whose identity has already been completely changed by Jesus. So far as we know, they had been three simple fishermen, Simon, James, and John. Like all Jews at that time, they were further identified by their descent from their fathers. Simon, son of Jonah, James and John, sons of Zebedee. They would have expected, in all probability, to ply their trade on Lake Gennesaret while they still had strength and health to do it, and then to pass on their boats, their nets, and their skills to their sons, as we know that Zebedee had done, was indeed still doing, to James and John. It's quite likely that Simon's father too had been a fisherman, from whom Simon and his brother Andrew had inherited their trade in the same way, but we don't know that for sure. They are three men to whom Jesus gives new names. Simon becomes Cephas or Peter. Cephas is the Aramaic word and Petros the Greek word for rock. "On this rock I will build my church," says the Lord. James and John he christens Boanerges, sons of thunder. It probably isn't a fishing reference. It's not because they enjoy the challenge of the storm, but more likely because they are to become great preachers thundering out the word of God. As well as changed identity, these different names also betoken a completely different and changed way of life. They had been fishermen. Henceforth, said Jesus, they would be fishers of men. You could spend the whole of Lent reflecting on the different roles which are needed in a church. We still need church builders and pastors like Peter, preachers and evangelists like James and John, all of them fishers of men. In addition, though not in today's story, you need people like the Marys, who are especially important in the church's Lenten reflection. Mary, the mother of Jesus, who is the model for all time of those who hear the word of God and ponder it in their hearts. Mary Magdalene, who is our leader and forerunner in the practice of penance and repentance. Mary of Bethany, whose spiritual insight into the meaning of the cross of Christ leads her to anoint him before his time for burial. All of these, male and female, are people who found new identity in their encounter with Jesus. So, if I may presume to ask it, the Lenten question I would ask you to consider is, who do you think you are? And I encourage you to consider it in the light which shines from the face of Christ, as it shone on the Mount of Transfiguration. Much is made today of identity, in what is called identity politics. Are you male or are you female? Are you black or are you white? Are you straight or are you gay? Are you able-bodied or disabled? Are you British or are you Welsh? I think there is reasonable biblical evidence to suggest that in the light of the face of Christ, all those differences are relativized, if not done away with altogether. In Christ, writes St. Paul, there is no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. My fundamental identity is to be found in my relationship with Christ, or at least it is to be discovered in the light of that relationship. Perhaps indeed it will still be important to me that I am a woman, not a man, or that I am Welsh, not British. But if it's true, I will need to discover what it means not just to be a Welsh woman, but to be a Welsh woman who has Christian sisters and brothers of every race and language across the world, starting with the sisters and brothers whom I meet Sunday by Sunday in my church. And it will always be important to remember that they and I share an indissoluble bond of identity because we are the adopted children of our Heavenly Father, and therefore fellow heirs with Christ our brother to all the riches of the inheritance of the kingdom. It is difficult to talk, I think, about these things without discussing one's own sense of identity, but I thought I might turn aside to reflect for a moment on the loss of Richard and what the new identity of priesthood meant to him. Those of you who spoke to him about it will know that the idea of being ordained, of becoming the Reverend Richard Ivanek, became the dominant theme of his last years, even before his illness was diagnosed. I had to give him a reference, of course. In case you hadn't noticed, I'm a bit of a cynic about ordination. When you've met and worked with as many clergy as I have, indeed, when you've been a clergyman yourself as long as I have, any starry-eyed illusions you might have had about the men and women of the cloth have been long done away with. You don't go looking for perfection. And there was never any chance that I was going to do anything other than recommend Richard to go forward. But I did have some reservations, and I knew I was not alone in them. Richard threw himself into so many things, not always wisely, in his relatively short time in Newquay and Minor Groys, the bowls club, the golf club and the RNLI, as well as the church. I was worried that throwing himself into ordination was just another example of the same. But any reservations I had about Richard's candidacy were completely done away with when we actually had the meeting out of which I had to draw his reference. The first time that I had really spoken to him about what ordination meant to him. It was immediately obvious that he'd reflected on deeply on what it meant to be a priest, on what it would mean to him personally. This was not just the next thing he was throwing himself into. His sense of vocation was profound, and I will be forever grateful to those who made it possible for him to fulfil it, at least in part, by being ordained before he was taken from us. After he was ordained, when he was in Singleton, where he was already very ill, he told me very simply, "It changes you, Matthew." Our gospel reading today is the story of what we call the Transfiguration. The name refers, of course, to the transfiguration of Jesus himself, but it might just as much refer to the transfiguration in which three simple fishermen become, respectively, the rock on which the church is to be built and the sons of thunder who will preach the good news of salvation across the world. If you can take some time in Lent to stop, to seek the kingdom of God in the light of the face of Christ, you too might find out something new about who you think you are. You too might find yourself transfigured. It changes you. So to our prayers, our intercessions today are led by Martin. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Un tad yr hynoet yn y nefoedd, sancteiddia dy enw, deled y dernas, gwnela dy wychlis, megis yn y nef, fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyron ni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion, fel y maddewn ni na ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwan ni y brofedigaeth, eithaf gwared ni rhag drwg, can ei seiddo ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Lord, we pray for the people of Turkey and Syria and those affected by the earthquake. We pray for the relatives of the deceased. We pray for those made homeless and the coming refugee crisis. Lord, we pray for the rescue services. And we pray for the governments around the world to help with aid and resources. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those affected by the conflict in Ukraine. We continue to pray for an end to the war and to pray for the leaders of both countries to gather together and to find a firm resolution. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the Senedd and particularly Mark Drakeford in his time of grief. We ask that you bless them with your spirit to enable full administrative function. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the UK and Scottish parliaments. We pray that in this period of crisis and change of leadership, they will adopt and fulfill their full purpose. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Life be in our speech, truth in what we say. The love that Christ Jesus gave be filling every heart for us. The love that Christ Jesus gave be filling us and for everyone. We pray for this and the coming week and the start of Lent, and most of all to follow Christ more closely. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, Lord, we pray for this diocese of St. David's. We pray for the congregations, the clergy, and Bishop Joanna. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
His heart, I know that while in heaven he stands.
now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.